Hi, this is Youth Beat Radio. I'm your host, Anna Siriano. In May of 2011, I was sitting in my cubicle, feeling generally lethargic, when I got an email from a coworker. Spotted along the road adjacent to our building was a Kirtland warbler. The sighting caused a stir among bird enthusiasts. The Kirtland warbler is an endangered wood warbler that is rarely seen, especially in Columbus. For birders, sightings like these are a triumph. For my coworkers that day, the warbler was an interesting excuse to get some fresh air as they embarked on an 8-hour day indoors. As Youth Beat reporter Nicole Jackson finds out in her interview with Alex Hughes and Alex Champagne of the Ohio State Ornithology Club, birdwatching activities at Ohio State and around Central Ohio can give everyone the chance to relax and enjoy the outdoors, even in the city.
I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. Oh, what a beautiful day.
Hi, I'm Nicole Jackson, and today I will be talking with Alex Hughes and Alex Champagne from the OSU Ornithology Club. Alex Hughes is the current president, and Alex Champagne is the former president. Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Good.
Doing well. Thanks for having us.
So what is the purpose of the OSU Ornithology Club?
Purpose is to engage OSU members, whether it's undergraduate students, graduate students, and even some staff and faculty in bird watching, essentially, ornithology activities. We have kind of a special interest group of people that are into, whether it's, you know, bird research. A lot of it, like I said, is bird watching in the field, and just people who are interested in nature, you know, a lot of science majors, stuff like that.
Yeah, certainly agree with that. And also we try to, by having a mix of graduate students and undergraduates and faculty, we hope to sort of, you know, foster some communication in between those groups, because sometimes there really isn't a lot of communication between those groups, and hopefully create opportunities in the case for especially undergraduates, mm-hmm. for, you know, getting into research, that sort of thing. And also just, yeah, foster mentoring among the graduate students and faculty.
Mm-hmm. How often is the club held?
Well, we have monthly meetings and field trips. Meetings are usually about an hour long. We do everything from announcements, you know, we'll take care of logistic items, and then we try to bring in a guest speaker, which we usually have. We've had, you know, OSU faculty, local naturalists, you know, different like nonprofit organization representatives come in and talk to the club about everything from the history of birding to, you know, current research projects with birds around. And we also do, like I said, monthly field trips where we go to, you know, regional areas, local areas, metro parks. We've gone as far as Upper Peninsula, Michigan, you know, seeking specific birds different times of the year, depending on, you know, where migration is, breeding season, stuff like that.
I myself have heard the term birding a lot, and I just want to know, for those who aren't familiar with the term, what exactly is birding?
Well, birding is just, it's really whatever somebody makes of it, really. It can range from anything from feeding birds and watching them outside of your, you know, kitchen or living room window, or it can involve, you know, extreme stuff like going to the Upper Peninsula in the middle of winter to go see some boreal species. It's really whatever you make of it. Some people take it really seriously in terms of keeping a list of all the birds that they've seen in every single location. Other people are a little more relaxed with it, but I think no matter what, it's a lot of fun, and it's a good way to just sort of improve your observational skills in general, I think, and just see some really neat areas.
So have you guys had any current events in regards to birding this quarter?
Yeah, the Michigan trip that we were just talking about, the Upper Peninsula, was this last January. In February, we went to Killdeer Plains Wildlife Area and Big Island Wildlife Area, which is in kind of north central Ohio, outside of Marion. Looked for, you know, bald eagles and wintering raptors, things like that. We've had a couple meetings this year. We just had a speaker come in from the Ohio Bird Conservation Initiative and get some members to volunteer on a project involving surveying birds that have hit buildings downtown and that have died. and they count those, and they're looking at the effects of lights and that cities put off into the atmosphere, and you know, bringing birds down to the city, stuff like that. So we're doing all that kind of stuff. We have a meeting coming up later in March. We also have a field trip coming up at the end of the month, March 31st. We're doing a Columbus Hotspots trip. We're going to go to some different metro parks and reservoirs and things in Columbus that bring in a lot of good birds. And then spring quarter, you know, once we get into April and May, is a really, really active period for the club. Spring migration comes through and the breeding birds get in, the really exciting birds that people like to see. It's warm out, you know, it's always a big attraction to the club. And so members will be very active there. And it's also the time of the ornithology class at Ohio State is taught. So there's a lot of students that are learning about birding at the time that the club is also doing a lot more different field trips and things that come out to stuff.
Are there any members of the club doing bird research now?
Yeah, I think we have several. I mean, obviously, myself as a graduate student, I'm working with some bird physiology research. There's several other graduate student members in the club doing similar bird research activities. And there's also some undergraduates, I think, especially in the Environment and Natural Resource Department, that are working with various graduate students and faculty members on different bird projects. There's certainly lots of opportunities here at OSU, and that's one of the things that we as a club try to facilitate, is helping people recognize those opportunities.
We also have, kind of similar to a research project, it doesn't have really an experimental design to it or anything like that, like a hypothesis we're testing, but last summer we put up nest boxes at the Chadwick Arboretum on West Campus, and we put them up after breeding had taken place last year. So it's just kind of the maintenance part. But this spring, we're hoping that some good birds like tree swallows and maybe bluebirds and things will move in, house wrens, you know, stuff besides the normal city birds will move into the nest boxes. And, you know, some research could come out of that. I don't know, you know, how much, you know, data you could get, but just as far as, you know, getting campus involved in our members and, you know, some active research, you could say, and monitoring what's going on.
This is Youth Beat Radio. Nicole Jackson is talking to Alex Hughes and Alex Champagne about the Ohio State Ornithology Club and Central Ohio Birding. The club meets monthly to go on birdwatching field trips, hear guest speakers, and discuss current ornithology research. Coming up, Hughes and Champagne share tips and resources for birding novices. Stay tuned. Sparrows, and she flows upon the breeze, and she moves upon the flowers, and she moves something deep inside me.
What would you say to someone who doesn't know much about birds but are interested in finding out more about birding?
I think that's a really good point you brought up, is people that don't know a lot about birds that want to know a lot more about birds, because I think that's really common, is because when we're out bird watching and we're looking at something, and those kind of people, you know, that aren't aware of what's going on or aren't bird watchers will come around and, you know, what are you guys doing? What are you guys looking at? And if we show them, we talk to them, everybody always thinks it's really cool. And, you know, a lot of people think they don't have time, or, you know, you're in the city, so you don't have the resources, the areas to get out and see. But for me, it was really kind of the opportunity to be in a city and find out like the little cool local spots where birds are, was a really big attraction. You learn a lot more about your city, the different little patches of habitat, and, you know, facts about birds and other birders in the area. It's a good way to, you know, make friends and stuff. But really, if you can find somebody that wants to, you know, kind of break the normal routine and get outside in their free time, which I think a lot of people do, it becomes a really good outlet for that. It's different from just going home and watching TV kind of thing.
Anything to add to that, Alex?
Yeah, well, I guess in terms of the importance of birds, maybe from a sort of scientific perspective too, you know, birds are just really important in terms of the world's ecosystems. I mean, you look up and you see swallows flying around. They're eating mosquitoes. They're controlling the mosquito population, which I think all of us can relate to, especially during the summer. And then you have birds are a great indicator of how the environment is changing. There's lots of scientific studies being undertaken right now that are showing how birds are changing in response to the environment, whether it's through for example, Rachel Carson, a lot of Rachel Carson's early stuff was based on the fact that these birds were dying, and then that led to this whole sweeping legislation banning chemicals such as DDT. So, you know, without seeing birds dying, then we wouldn't have ever known that we were having such an impact on the environment. So that's, I guess, just a few of the reasons that birds are important.
Do you have any basic tips or resources that could be used for people who want to start birding? You know, even books or literature or field guides, do you have suggestions as to getting started with birding?
Yeah, what's really great about birding is it's actually a very popular hobby, and there are a lot of those resources out there for people to get involved with. You mentioned field guides. That's kind of the first thing I had is, even though before I was a birder, for some reason, I always had a field guide I liked looking through, you know, and just looking at the eagles and raptors. And that's a really good way to start for people, is to pick up like a Peterson's guide or a National Geographic guide or something like that, and just start learning the birds you're seeing at the feeders or, you know, on your walk to class or whatever. Obviously, talking about class specifically at OSU, you know, we have the club that anybody can get involved with. We have a lot of kind of beginning members and different interest levels within the club. That's really, you know, anybody can join and can get in that way. As far as other resources go, like I said, it's just a really popular hobby that people can get into, and there's different clubs in every city and town, really, like the Audubon Club, you know, National Audubon Society is really popular, and you know, they have weekly, monthly events, meetings, field trips, banquets, speakers, whatever else, you know, walks for young kids, adults, you know, people our age to do. There's like young birders clubs, all kinds of stuff like that. Basically, if you just do a little searching around the internet, almost every city has a website or a club that people can get together and do that stuff on.
Yeah, and speaking more on that social aspect of birding too, I think that, you know, if you're going to start birding, yeah, find a club or just find a friend too to do it with you, because I think at least to a lot of us in the club, that's one of the more exciting aspects of birding, is not just seeing the birds yourself, but sharing that experience with someone. And it's just really neat to be able to, you know, if you're an experienced birder, to be able to point out birds to a novice birder, and vice versa, if you're a novice, to be able to learn from someone who's more experienced. And yeah, I think that social aspect of birding is really something that a beginning birder should look for. You know, seek out other birders and share the experience with someone else.
Toward the middle of February, specifically February 17th through the 20th, a national event called the Great Backyard Bird Count took place. Did any of you guys participate in the event?
Yeah, I got out a couple times and did that. For people who don't know a whole lot about the Great Backyard Bird Count, it's just a kind of national citizen science initiative where they open up this kind of data entry interface on the internet where anybody can get in and, well, you go outside and you have to go outside and bird for 15 minutes at least. You can stand in one place or you can walk around for 8 hours, whatever you want to do. And you write down everything you saw, the species and the number of birds that you saw. And then they open up this website for everybody to enter in what they saw, and you put it in and they record it. And then after a couple of days of processing the data, they release that. And it always takes place at that time during the year, you know, at the end of winter. And it's a really kind of a unique way to look at where everything is across the country, that it's hard for just ornithologists or just scientists or researchers to find on their own with limited resources. And I got out myself. I went around campus for a little while and, you know, recorded what I saw there. I went around my apartment and found some things to put in the website, and it was a good weekend.
I didn't get a chance myself, but Alex talked a little bit about citizen science, using that term, and that's another really neat thing about birding, is that there's a lot of different opportunities to do this citizen science where it's, you know, just regular people going out, watching birds, and then, you know, submitting what they saw to scientists, basically. And we talked a little bit about how birds are these great environmental indicators. Well, a lot of that data comes from regular bird watchers, in terms of, you know, there's sites out there. There's a site called eBird that allows you to enter data on anytime you go out birding. There's Christmas bird counts that happen in December through January, and there's just a lot of different events that happen throughout the year that allow birders to participate in these really neat citizen science opportunities.
So do you guys have any life lists of your own?
Yeah, Quite a few, actually. Everything from, and eBird, like Alex just mentioned, is a really good tool for this because it's a website, you know, set up by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and they put all these different, you know, programs inside of it that it keeps track of everything. So where you see a bird, it keeps track of everything from, you know, your county list to your state list, and what year, how many you saw, and then all the way up to your life list, which the general term for a life list is, for a lot of people, how many birds you've seen in North America in your life, how many different species. And I definitely keep that. I keep a Franklin County list and a state list, and, you know, write all that stuff down. Got a little journal. Field notes are really important with birding. And yeah, the list definitely adds a competitive edge. And it all, you know, every time you get done birding, you can think about, oh, I got to go to this state to see this stuff. Or, you know, if you're going to visit family, I'm always on the internet, like, oh, what birds are around here? You know, things like that. Yeah, life list is definitely an exciting part of birding, though.
Alexi?
Yeah, also kept a life list since I was pretty young. And it's, yeah, definitely, Alex H. mentioned the competitive aspect and how that's kind of fun. In terms of North American birds, it's really fun to track your own progress and get out and see more locations. And I guess in terms of raw numbers, once you get to about 600 or 700 bird species seen in North America, you've been around a lot, and that's sort of considered the gold standard. So it's always a neat goal to shoot for, and something that sort of keeps the fire burning in terms of, even after you've seen a lot of birds, it makes you want to build those numbers even more.
I see that social media is a huge resource for getting information out into the world. Do you guys think that social media can be used as a tool to motivate people to get outdoors?
Yeah, I think social media can help, especially in terms of sort of real-time updates and tweets and that sort of thing. Certainly, as birders, during the migration season, I'll, you know, follow the tweets of certain bird observatories just to see what they're seeing. And by looking at those tweets and saying, oh, well, they just saw that warbler that I really want to see today, that really makes me want to get out there. And yeah, just certainly our club also has a Facebook group where we, you know, share sightings and try to encourage each other to get out there and see things. So I think in that aspect, social media does help, just as long as the hardest part is just removing yourself from the computer and getting out there.
Mm-hmm. Alex H.
Yeah, like, I totally agree with what Alex said. It's a really helpful tool. And especially, we talked about technology is one of the things that's keeping people inside sometimes, you know. We can kind of get into that technology, so even when people are inside there being exposed to that, it is a draw to get outside. I think it's a very valuable tool.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly.
Youth Beat reporter Nicole Jackson is talking to birdwatching enthusiasts Alex Hughes and Alex Champagne. Next up, they discuss how bird watching can help combat a theoretical behavioral disorder called nature deficit disorder, which occurs in children who do not have the opportunity or desire to explore the outdoors.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise.
In most communities nowadays, I've noticed that children aren't able to get out to explore the outdoors or be active in nature. The term nature deficit disorder has been used a lot. Alex C., can you explain for those who aren't familiar with the term exactly what that is?
Yeah, you know, I think nature deficit disorder was, I think, a term that was first coined by Richard Louv in his book, The Last Child in the Woods, and it just sort of speaks to the fact that kids just don't get outside as much as they used to, whether it's in urban areas where there's maybe, you know, fears of crime, that sort of thing, or even in rural areas, kids are just staying inside more with technology coming in. Kids are staying inside and playing video games instead of actually getting out there.
Anything you want to add, Alex H?
Yeah, I don't know as much about it, and I'm definitely no expert on, you know, the whole education system or where those things are going. But I've also my mom is a high school teacher in a city school district, and I know that sometimes resources are really limited with these things, even when school, because you talked about how it's not always just kids at home getting out. It's sometimes, you know, science classes or whatever. Those kids often don't have those opportunities. And I know resources are limited. You know, they can't afford field trips. You know, class sizes are getting bigger. They can't, you know, take 60 kids out at once when there's only one or two teachers, things like that. I think it's definitely a serious problem that is holding kids back.
Have any of you guys been able to go to any of the metro parks recently? And are you able to promote birding specifically to either children, friends, and or family members?
Yeah, we go to the metro parks quite often just to birdwatch. Columbus has a really great metro park system, but I haven't run into a whole lot of kids, you know, that we've interacted with directly anyways. We have gone out with the Ohio Young Birders Club a few times, which is a really great organization that is kids ages 12 to 18 that are interested in bird watching. A lot of times, you know, their parents are the ones that say, hey, let's look at this club, it's fun. But the kids get really into it and they do a really good job. And we've gone out to the metro parks with them and they always have a great time, you know, and promote birding. A lot of times they're just as good, if not better, at identifying the birds as we are. And so we've definitely had that interaction, but I haven't, you know, had direct interaction with like school groups or anything like that.
Have you looked into expanding your birding activities? And by that, I mean, have you looked more into collaborating with other organizations in terms of birding?
Well, in general, I think our focus is on Ohio State students, but we've sort of expanded it a little bit just in terms of collaborating with other birding organizations. You know, we're collaborating with Columbus Audubon on some things, too. Alex H. talked about the Ohio Young Birders, for example, and we've only recently started collaborating and doing certain events with them. You know, maybe that's a little bit of a recruiting tool for us if these kids ever come to Ohio State. So maybe that's not completely altruistic. I think we, you know, sort of have different levels where we have a, you know, an inner core, but then we also try to expand it out in certain situations too. You know, nature deficit disorder sort of starts in these young kids, but it certainly continues to the college level. And I think that, you know, even by introducing you know, college students to birding, as our club has done, we are helping to combat nature deficit disorder in some ways. Because I, you know, even as a, you know, as a teaching assistant, I'll sit in class and I'll see, you know, professors in biology classes. Then they'll talk about, when they talk about biology, they talk about, you know, finches in the Galapagos. They talk about these birds of paradise in Indonesia, and it, you know, it always seems like science is happening way, really far away to somebody else, and it's not necessarily that accessible. But I hope that what we do in our birding club is showing people that, you know, science and nature is right here in your backyard, and you can see a lot of really neat things just by stepping outside, going to your local metro park, looking into your backyard, finding your little pocket park that's nearest to you. And hopefully making science and nature a little more accessible to college students.
This has been another episode of Youth Beat Radio. You can find us online at youthbeat.osu.edu and on Facebook. You can also email us at youthbeat@osu.edu. I'm your host, Anna Siriano. Thank you for listening.
Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall old tree. The wise old owl, the big black crow, flap of the wings, singing go, bird, go. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, rock, tweet. Rock, the rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, we'll go rockin' Robin, cause we're really gonna rock tonight. Tweet, tweet. Oh!
Youth Beat Radio is produced by youth from Central Ohio High Schools, youth groups, and universities. It is sponsored by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University, Ohio State University Extension, and local sponsors. Views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station or the sponsors.